talk with you about the God who sees and hears you. The God who sees and hears you. We've recently been watching some old home videos. It's been interesting to watch our kids watch themselves as they were babies and toddlers growing up. Their perception of how things were was so different than how things really were. As a child, watching them and their perception of what was right, what was wrong, what was good for them, what was bad for them, we can see it all on video. It's easy for a child to feel like no one sees them, that no one hears them, when they're only viewing life from their immature, young perspective. It's easy for them to feel like nobody's paying attention to me. Nobody's watching me. Nobody's listening to me. A lot of the videos that we have of James David when he was little is simply him walking up to the camera, and we had one of those flip things that flipped out and there's a preview screen or whatever, and that's how you would videotape. You watch the screen. And most of the videos that we have of James David when he was a toddler was him walking up to us going, I'm a seat. I mean, just over and over and over and over. No, just go play so I can videotape you play. And I'm sure that in his mind, he was thinking, yeah, some of you are having to describe what a video camera used to look like. We have these now. I'm sure that in his mind, he was thinking, my dad doesn't see me. My dad doesn't hear me. My dad is hogging the video camera. He is using that for his own pleasure. He's not letting me have fun with it. I'm sure that he was just thinking from that perspective. Well, all the while, I'm trying to capture a video memory of him just playing and having fun. Couldn't do it. Honestly. We have times on video when they were frustrated, when they were wanting their own way, when they were angry, when they were being ungrateful. Those are embarrassing moments these days. So ungrateful as a child, and that's what they're thinking as we watch the videos now. Or they do something wrong and they hurt their siblings, or they didn't want to go to bed, and we keep telling them over and over and over how much they needed to go to bed. And I'm sure that they grew up thinking, I'm not heard, I'm not seen. But when we turn on the videos now and they look back as an adult, it's a whole different perspective. Watching some of the events, when they were little, they realized that we were. We were seeing. We were watching. In fact, looking back now, they realize how much of our lives was about them. We saw them. We heard them. We just saw their lives from a completely different perspective than they did. You know, in the same way, it's easy for us in our lives on earth to think, God doesn't see me. God doesn't hear me. He's not paying attention. It's easy to believe that he doesn't see or hear us. He sees our lives from a completely different perspective than we see. Genesis 16, we've been talking about Abraham and Sarah, and she's in her 70s in this story today, and he's in his mid-80s. Sarai had always wanted kids, and God had promised them that they would have a child together. But she was barren and wasn't able to have a kid, and Sarah was impatient. She got very impatient at this time. And years ago, when they caused trouble in Egypt, if you remember, they went to Egypt and Abraham told her, hey, tell them you're my sister, which she was. She was a half-sister, but they were married. That was fairly common back then. I don't recommend it today, but it was common back then. And they caused problems in Egypt because she said that she was his sister, and God came and stopped that situation and problems happened for the king of Egypt, and so he was like, what did you do this to me for? Well, they left Egypt very blessed and with a lot of stuff, a lot of money and a lot of things because of what happened there, but they had caused a lot of trouble there, and when they left, they took with them a servant girl named Hagar. And Hagar became trusted by Sarah. And by all accounts, it seems that they became, at some level, good friends. They became close. She lived with them for many years before this story. And since Hagar was of childbearing age, Sarah, being impatient that she did not have a baby, she talked her husband into taking Hagar on as his wife to to try to have a baby. Well, so now Abraham has two wives. It was common then. Don't recommend it today. But that's what happened back then. And Hagar came in. Now, you can imagine, all her life, this is what she wanted. But here she was, considered a slave, taken out of Egypt to Abraham and Sarah. All her life, you can imagine, I wish I had a husband. I wish I could have kids. I wish I could have a normal life. And all of a sudden, Sarah recommends, Abram, will you take Hagar on as your wife to have kids with her, so that we can have a baby, so that we can have a child. Abraham did. He took her on as his wife. And here's what happened. It says, when Hagar knew she was going to have a baby, she became proud and was hateful to Sarah. What happened? Her pride started wanting everything. This is what she wanted all her life. Well, now I can have it all. You can imagine the kind of things that Hagar would say to Sarah. I'm giving him a baby. What are you giving him? I'm better than you. Look what I'm doing for him. God blessed me with a baby. What's wrong with you? You can hear her now, can't you? Oh, the baby's kicking. Can't you imagine what that's like? Well, I guess you can. Only I can know what that's like because I'm pregnant and I get to have a baby. She was being mean to Sarah. Sarah blamed Abram. She took it and she blamed him. She said, this is your fault, Abram. This is your responsibility. She said, you have done me wrong and you will have to answer to the Lord for this. He's like, whoa, wait a second, lady. You're the one that came to me wanting to do this. And then he said something very wrong. He said, all right, she's your slave. And you can do whatever you want with her. What did he not say? He did not say, she's my wife now. He didn't stand up for her position. He didn't protect her. Instead, he threw her right back into the position that she had before, Sarah's slave. He declared Hagar is still to be Sarah's slave. And he threw his hands in the air and he said, let the women fight it out. I'm more efficient. Now you can imagine how awful that must have been for Hagar to hear her husband, to hear all of her dreams. You can imagine how difficult it was for Sarah, though. She was losing her position. She was losing her status. She was losing her position in his life as his primary wife. This other woman is coming in, and she's going to give him the dream that she's going to have a baby. This is horrible. You can imagine, now I'm becoming a nag. Now I'm becoming angry and I'm frustrated. Abraham had a serious mess on his hands. He had made a mess of his family. Hagar's home situation had become abusive and unbearable. She ran away. This is where God saw her. She ran away and God saw her. Let's read it. Hagar stopped to rest at a spring in the desert on the road to Shur. Very descriptive. Real place. While she was there, the angel of the Lord came to her and asked, Hagar, where have you been? Where have you come from? And where are you going? She said, I'm running away from Sarah, my owner. The angel said, go back to Sarah and be her slave. I will give you a son who will be called Ishmael, because I heard your cry for help. Hear that? I heard your cry. And later I will give you so many descendants that no one will be able to count them all. But your son will live far from his relatives. He will be like a wild donkey fighting everyone and everyone fighting him. You know who Ishmael is today? His family in the Middle East. That's exactly where he is today. His family's there. They're the ones causing so much trouble. We know them as ISIS and all of that group. Right? God wanted her, though. This woman, God saw her. You know those people, God loves them too. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that. God loves them too. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus died for them too. Doesn't mean they have a relationship with him. It means it's our responsibility to try to reach them. And did you know that in many parts of the world, we are able to reach them? They're starting to be reached in great numbers. It's a amazing what God is doing in the underground church. But God wanted her to never forget he heard her cries. So he told her, we're going to name your baby Ishmael. And that name means God hears. For the rest of your life, you're going to call your son Ishmael. And that name means God hears. And I want you to always remember that when you were out here and you were alone and you felt like you were abused, you felt like you had been pushed out of that situation, I heard your cry. And all throughout Scripture, we read where God shows up because he hears people crying. We see where God heard somebody in great distress, somebody that was struggling in life, and God showed up for them. He says, I heard you. I heard your prayers. I heard what you were saying, and I want you to know I'm here. You know, God also hears when blood is shed. He hears the cries of that blood coming out of the ground, and it's calling out for justice for him to show up, and he does that. And he said to Hagar, I want to name your baby Ishmael because I want you to always remember God hears. I want you to remember I hear you, and I know where you are, and I'm here to help you. Throughout the years when Angela and I have faced our greatest struggles, when we felt alone, when we felt like things weren't turning out right, and we were struggling, there were moments like that throughout the years, and this is one of the things that we would always say when we brought it to a conclusion of what we were talking about. This is all we need to know. God heard our prayer, God sees us, God hears us, and God cares. God sees us, God hears us, and God cares. And when you come to a place where you believe that, all of a sudden a peace comes inside of your life. You might need a job, you might need favor from somebody, you might need somebody to look on you and promote you, you might need help in your situation with your marriage. There might be all of these things going on in your life, but here's what you need to know. God sees, God hears, and God cares. Sometimes it's all you need to know. You turn it over to him and trust him. After God left Hagar, Hagar thought, have I really seen God and lived to tell him? She had heard stories about people seeing God and dying. Have I really seen God and lived to tell about it? So from then on, she called him the God who sees him. That's why people call the well between Kadesh and Bered the well of the living one who sees him. Later on in Scripture, people visited this well, the well of the God who sees him, as she named. The well was named Lahai Roah, the well of the living one who sees him. Hagar believed God. She believed God was the only, he was only available for Abraham and Sarah. But she found out on this day that he wasn't just available for them. He was available for her too. She thought, she probably thought that God condoned their horrible behavior towards her. You can imagine how angry and how hurt and how hopeless she felt through those times. All of these horrible emotions. And then you add on top of it, she was pregnant. Now, if you've ever been pregnant, ladies, you understand what I mean by that. I can't relate, but I'm told that there's great emotion that comes with being pregnant. And you can imagine how lonely, how angry, how difficult this time was for her. And God shows up and he says, I hear you, I see you, and I don't want you to ever forget it. I'm for you. I'm not just the God of Abraham and Sarah. I'm here for you too. Isn't that beautiful? And here she was, her first baby on the way, something that's supposed to bring such great joy in her life. But she was feeling lost. She was feeling abandoned in her life. She felt like she was put out to pasture, and she didn't know where she was going to be able to begin again. She didn't have a place to go. She didn't know who to turn to, but God himself showed up to help her out. And God asked her this. He said, Hagar, where have you come from? And where are you going? God gets right to the chase, doesn't he? He cuts to the chase. Where are you coming from and where are you going? Well, she couldn't tell him where she was going, but she could tell him where she was coming from. She said, I'm running away from Sarah, my owner. See, God is asking us the same question today. Where have you come from, but where are you going? Can you answer that question, where are you going? Some of us, we can only answer like Sarah. Well, I know where I've been. I know what I've done. I know what things have happened in my life. I can only tell you where I've been. That's all I can see. And for some reason, there's a mental block. Only being able to look back and see where we've been, to see our history, to see the things that happened from our perspective. And we look back on our lives and we don't see everything God sees. Like my kids, in their childhood, they can only see things from their perspective. But now we can look back as adults and see that things were a little bit different, a lot different in many cases. Why? Because they took on a bigger perspective. If only you could see your history through the eyes of God, who He is and what He did back then, and how He saw you, and how He heard you, and how He helped you through that situation. God can give you the ability, though, to see more than where you have been. And God wants you to get your eyes off of where you've been and onto where you're going. He wants to shift your focus, and He wants you to use not just your memory. God is more interested in you using your imagination. When's the last time you imagined where you're headed? When's the last time you stopped and imagined better days ahead? When's the last time you stopped and imagined you with better health? You with a better financial situation? You with more purpose in your life? You with greater days ahead? You with a better marriage than you've got today? I'm not talking about someone else. I'm talking about the same people, right? Same marriage, but better. When's the last time you saw yourself with a better future? Looking forward means letting go of the past that owes you. Looking forward means you've got to let go of the past that owes you. God was asking Hagar to go back and serve Sarah. And He promised He would bless her. But in order for her to go back, she was going to have to let go of the past. And the past owed her. People owed her. And when she looked back, she saw where people owed her. The past owed her. But she would have to give that up in order to move forward in what God wanted her to do. God knew that Sarah would have to forgive. I'm sorry, that Hagar would have to forgive Sarah. He knew that she would have to not hold all of that against her. And He knew that it wasn't that bad of a situation for her to go back to. This is so key. Often we help create an unlivable environment. And we don't know. Hagar had helped create an unlivable environment. Back with Sarah and Abraham. She didn't see it from God's perspective. All she saw was what Sarah was doing to her. God could see that if Hagar went back home, and if she was nice, if she would fix things, see, it was livable for many years. But all of a sudden, it was unlivable. And Hagar had created that situation in her life. She was being hateful towards Sarah. Sarah was mad. What did she say? Abram, it's your fault. You slept with Hagar, and ever since she got pregnant, she's been mean to me. She's being hateful. Well, God was telling Hagar, if you'll look back, if you'll go back and not be so mean, it will be good, a good place for you and your son to live. Beyond that, He says, I will bless you. If you will go back and be different, I will bless you. If you will go back and be different, it will be a good place for you to live. And in fact, what God was saying, Hagar, all you need to know is I see you, I hear you, I care, and here's direction. If you will trust me, I will give you the strength to go back and live there. If you will believe in me and trust me and go back and forgive and be kind and just live and do your part, it will be a good place to live. You see, we hold on to the past because our past is indebted to us. And we've got to be able to let it go, and we'll find peace in our own lives. We hold on to unforgiveness, waiting for those who hurt us to come and make payment and make things right, to make it right. Marriages are destroyed like this. But what if your situation, what if your marriage isn't as bad as you think it is? What if you stopped instigating? What if you forgave and went back and made things right? It might not be as bad as you think it is. What if your job is not as bad as you think it is? You see, if God were to sit down and talk with you today, would he give you permission to run away from your situation? Or would he say, listen, I see you, I hear you, and here's what you can do? Would he say, you're free to walk away, or you need to forgive and go back and fix it and do your part and make things right? Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. Y'all have read the story of the prodigal son. The son was tired of living under the thumb of his father. You can imagine. He was ready to get out. He thought he could do better. He could make it farther in life. If I just get away from my dad has beliefs that are different from mine. His politics are different from mine. My father thinks differently. I'm talented. I know that if I were just given a chance, I could go out and I could make it big in this world. You can hear what he's thinking and pumping himself up, getting ready to leave his father. Well, he did. He went and asked his father for his inheritance. And the father, he obliged. He said, all right, here you go. Knock yourself out. Well, he did. And it was highly offensive to ask for an inheritance, as it is to this day. You don't go and ask your father for an inheritance before they're gone. It's just awful. But this guy did. The father gave it to him. He watched him leave. And you can see that young man as he leaves the house. You can see him walking down the road. He's screaming to all the servants, ha! I'm out of here. I've got my money and I'm going and I'm going to make it big. You can see him. He's jumping, leaping, clicking his heels together. I don't know what he's doing. But he is happy. He's excited as he leaves that place. And he goes out and it says he goes out to the far country and he started living it up. He did everything he could to make it fun, to enjoy himself. He squandered all of the money. And worse than that, the economy fell and broke at the same time, which meant he couldn't get a good job. And this young man ended up in the pig pen. He was feeding pigs for a living. He was eating the pig slop so that he had something to eat. That's about as low as a Jewish boy could possibly get. And all of a sudden, the scripture says that Jesus said, suddenly he came to his senses. Suddenly he realized something that was just common sense. And what was that? He realized, hey, wait a second. Even my father's servants have it better than I've got it right now. If I'll just go home, maybe I can be one of my father's servants. That just makes sense. So he picked himself up and he headed home. The same place that wasn't good enough before. The same place that he got frustrated living at. The same place that he said, you know what, I can do better than this. The place that he didn't want to be at. His father was controlling, he probably thought. The father had too much of an agenda that he didn't want to be a part of every day. And he wanted to go out and make a better name for himself. So what happened? He goes home to the place that he thought was good enough before. What was Jesus saying? He was saying the son's circumstances really weren't that bad before. It was his attitude. His attitude changed. And suddenly that you know the story. The son went home. The father welcomed him, restored him to his rightful place. Why? Because the father knew that he had been through enough and his attitude had changed. I know a lady whose daughter-in-law is a real pill. Anybody here have a daughter-in-law that's a real pill? You're not going to admit it, are you? When my friend goes to visit her son and daughter-in-law and the kids, she'll try to stay in their home. She'll do her best to be invisible. She'll do her best to just help around and to be a blessing to them. She's an amazing cook. So she tries to help as much as she can. And it only seems to make things worse. One day, the dishes needed to be cleaned after breakfast. And so she started washing the dishes. And she helped out. And after she finished that, she started polishing everything up. And she thought to herself, and she's going to be really happy with it. She's going to see that I love her, I care about her kitchen, and that I care about the fact that at the time she had a baby, and I'm just trying to help. And so she polishes it up, and she gets it all clean, and everything looks great. And she took the dish scrubber, and she put it down under the sink. Well, she didn't know where that belonged, but she just thought, well, that looks like a good place to put it. So about 15 or 20 minutes later, her daughter-in-law walks in the kitchen. She looks, doesn't say anything about how great the kitchen looks at all. She said, "Where's my dish scrubber?" And she went nuts, started screaming, yelling, "Where's my dish scrubber?" My friend left, and a couple of days later, she gets on the phone with her son. Her son is hiding in the washroom, talking on the phone with his mother. What he didn't know was his wife was standing outside the door listening to his conversation. And he was telling his mom how difficult things were and how bad things had gotten, and I need some help. And all of a sudden, she went nuts when she figured out who he was talking to. If God were to sit down with this young mother, I wonder what he would say. I think he would say something like he said, "See you, I hear you, but you need to go back to your home." And she had left. "And you need to go back to your home. You need to be a servant. It's not as bad as you think it is. People aren't trying to hurt you." See, God, this is an important point. God would never tell you to go live in an abusive not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Hagar had participated. Hagar had made it in many ways as bad as it was. If she would change and go back and make things right. You see, but what if your work environment is not as bad as you think it is? What if you went to work as a servant tomorrow? What if your in-laws are not as bad as you think they are? What if you decided to just let go of the past and be a person of peace? What if your boss and your co-workers aren't as bad as you think they are? What if your marriage isn't as bad as you think it is? What if your parents aren't as bad as you think they are? What if your children aren't as bad as you think they are? What if you change your vision from your past to see your future with God? What if you stop looking at your past and thinking that has disqualified you from a great future? What if you stop looking at everywhere you've been and start asking God to help you imagine better days ahead and start focusing on that? What if you change that? What if you, like Hagar, decided that God's blessing in your life is far more profitable than the people paying you for the pain they caused you in the past? What if you let that go and embrace God's profit and His blessing? You need to know that the person who will owe you the most in your future will be you for what you did today with what's going on in your life. The person who will owe you the most in your future is you. Not the people who have been hurting you, not the people at your work, not your parents, not your in-laws, not your spouse. The person who will owe you the most in your future is going to be you. If you don't begin to make the decisions that God says you can make today to change your life, you need to start making the greatest investment in your life today. Forgive, let go of the past, and move on. But move on to what God wants you to do. Ask Him for His direction. Start making a habit of believing in your good days ahead. And they will start happening. John, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then it's not going to happen for you. See yourself free. See yourself in a better situation. See yourself whole. Believe that God can make a difference in your life. Hagar went back and she lived with Abram and Sarah for another 15 to 19 years. Her son grew up with his father. And she had a place of peace for another 15 to 19 years. And eventually, God got her out of that situation. But that's where she needed to be for the next 15 to 19 years. You see, God saw her, God heard her, and he gave her a real life. But she had to step out of faith and do what he said to do. So often, this is so important, so often, people hear from God at church. They hear direction from God. They get all inspired to do something for God, to obey God. But by the time they get in the car and go home, they've already talked themselves out of it. I read an article the other day about a new approach that employers are trying to take to help their employees to invest enough in their 401ks. What's happening is people sign up for a 401k, but they don't put enough in it to actually have what they need. So the employers have come up with this idea, this group of people have, the research is about, that they show that the real problem isn't that they don't want to have enough, they don't want to put enough, it's not that. It's they don't want to take the time to go and make the change that it takes to make the change. They have to go to HR, they got to go through the paperwork, they got to go through the process, and nobody wants to do that. They have to take time after work or maybe on their lunch hour to go and make that happen. They got to schedule an appointment. And people just don't want to take the time to actually go and do that. And so they go 15, 20, 30 years without having enough money put into their 401k in order for their life to be sustained later on. See, people are faced with so many choices. The article went on to talk about all the choices that people are faced with making. They have the products that they buy. I mean, think about how difficult it is just to buy a car these days. We just went through this. It's crazy. The options that are available, trying to figure out what's going to work for me, what's going to work for my family. And most people won't take the time. So what do? We go and buy the same car that we bought 5 years ago, just new. 10 years ago, just a new one. We'll buy the same car. Why? Because that's what we're familiar with. The same thing with vacations. Well, we're just going to go where we went last time. It's familiar to us. Where are we going to go eat? Well, we're going to go where we ate last time. We didn't get sick there. Let's just go do it again. We don't want to take time to figure it out. Otherwise, life would be overwhelming if we didn't just make these choices simply to research what the best batteries are for your fire detectors. Every time you go to put batteries in your fire detectors would be overwhelming. So we have this situation. It's the same thing with our politics. We just vote the party line. We don't get to know who. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. You know, the judges. And, well, who's this guy? I don't know. Who do you vote for? Well, who's this guy? I don't know. Who do you vote for? And we'll just vote straight party lines. We won't pay attention to who we should actually vote for. So that's the point of this article. So these employers came up with a shortage, a situation or a solution to the shortage that these people are having in their 401ks. And it looks like this. When they sign their employees up, they sign them up for the maximum to come out of their check into the 401k and make it where it will be hard for them to make a bad decision coming back later to lower that amount, as opposed to making it hard for them to make a good decision to come back later and increase the amount. So they started doing this, and there's great results from it. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Here's the point. I wish we could make it easier for you to invest in your future. I wish today we could just quickly say, all right, automatically you're going to invest in your life, for the rest of your life, and voila, it's done. Here's the truth. Whatever you hear from God today that needs to be changed in your life, God says, I see you, I hear you, you need to get up, go back. Whatever it is he tells you to do, here's the reality. You've got to make the work happen. you've got to leave this place and actually do it. God saw, God heard Hagar. He gave her clear direction for her life. He didn't just pat her on the back and give her an encouraging word. You're going to be okay. He gave her instructions to go home and be a good servant. God sees you, God hears you, and what would He say to you? Maybe He would tell you to go home and write a budget. If you need help writing a budget, I'm great at it. Give me a holler. Give John a holler. He's great at it. Let us know. If you have 5 dogs and 4 cats and you're asking God to help you manage your stress, He just might tell you to go home and give some of that away today. One of the first things I do when I sit down with a couple that they're about to leave is I ask them, how many dogs or cats do you have? And if it's more than 2, I tell them, all right. You guys are serious about your relationship coming back together. The first thing you'll do is you'll go home and you'll find a new home.
What?
Can't tell you how many times people get divorced before they still got those animals. Some of you would, He would tell you to go and change your expectations of the people around you. Change your expectations. Oh, John, you mean lower the standards? They're failing to meet your expectations all the time. Maybe you just need to change your expectations to meet their performance. Now that goes against everything that we think is right. Let me give you an example. I was talking to a guy and he was so frustrated about his wife wouldn't keep the house. He grew up in a home that was meticulously spotless. His wife was always, or his mother was always fussing. You guys clean this, keep this clean, keep that clean. And this is what he expected out of his wife, but she didn't. I said, have you ever thought that maybe that's just something your wife is not very good at? Oh, I have. Well, I'm sure she's good at a lot of other things. What are those things that you fell in love with? Can you focus on those things and remember the love that you've got? You can always find other ways to get the house clean, can't you? But you can't replace the love of your life. Then. You can clean the house. You can find somebody else. Why don't you just change your expectations? You see what I mean? Change your expectations. By the time we got off the phone, you could hear it in his voice. This man was free to love. All this time, he thought, I got to change her, I got to fix her, and now he's free to love. You see, your job may not be as bad as your brain is telling you to. Your spouse may not be as big of a loser as you think they are. Your kids may not be as big of a disappointment as you think they are. Maybe your past isn't as big of an issue as you think it is. If God Himself says, your past, not an issue to you. What did He say about your sins? He says, I have separated your sins from me as far as the east is from the west. Now we have north and south poles. You can go and you can stand at the north pole and say, I'm as far north as I can possibly get. But there is no such thing as an east pole or a west pole. You just keep going east or you just keep going west. He says, it is an endless measure of how far I have separated your sins from my ways. He says, let your past be gone. Where have you been? But I'm more interested in where you're going. God sees you, God hears you, questions. You see Him, listening, really listening. This is what Jesus would say all the time. Let ears, let yourself hear. Give eyes, let yourself see. Listen to what I'm saying. Get up. Are you willing to make an investment in your future? Most likely, you're going to walk out of here and not do what God is telling you to do. Because it takes effort. I don't believe that. I believe you're ready for change. I believe you're not like the rest of people. I believe this is a new day, a new beginning. That you're going to get out from this place. You're going to change. You're going to make a decision to do things God's way from this moment on, to the best of your ability. If divorce is in your future, it's not going to be because of you. Because you're going to get up from here and you're going to do everything you can to make that relationship work. If bankruptcy is in your future, it's not going to be because you didn't try. You're going to get up from this place and you're going to go and you're going to change. You're going to change your spending habits. You're going to do everything you can to save, to change the way you're doing it. If failed friendships, if you get fired, it's not going to be because of you, because you're going to get up from this place today and you're going to be a different employee. You're going to have a better attitude. You're going to believe that good things can happen right there. That you go to work not just to make a paycheck, but to actually serve God in that place and to share Jesus in that place. Fresh start, fresh beginning. You're not going to die of drug addiction. You're not going to die of alcoholism. You're going to get up from this place today, and you're going to be different. What is Jesus telling you to change? Today is the day. August 4th, 2019. This is your day. Father, thank you for your hope. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your peace. God, as we make these decisions now to change, to be different, set us free. Let us be mature and strong, able. We ask you, God, to fill our hearts with your peace that we may walk out of here actually do what you call us to. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're a God who sees us, who hears us. God, I sense that today, right now, there's somebody here that, like Hagar, is experiencing a lot of pain in their past. I pray, Father, that you would just let them know right now your peace, that you see them, heard them, that you care. But also whisper that still small voice that screams inside of us direction to change, to do our